This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. And each Tuesday, we get together for Creative Impact. It's a weekly look at the actual impact of the arts and creative sector on our lives and our community. My co-host for this weekly feature is Deb Pollack. Deb is the president and CEO of the Arts Alliance, which serves as our content partner. Always good to see you, Deb.
David, it's great to be here. And you know, it's springtime finally.
Well, sometimes it feels that way.
Yeah, you're right. Some days not so much. But hey, you know, I bet your thoughts, like those of many other people over the centuries, have turned to this time of the year towards getting busy with your timber framing and blacksmithing chores and honing your bushcrafting skills.
I don't recognize that language.
Well, it's a good thing our guest today does. We get to welcome Jason Gould to the studio this morning. And Jason is the director of the Michigan Folk School, located right here in Dixboro, and they offer classes and programs on traditional living skills, crafts, and music. So let's welcome Jason to the show. Welcome.
Jason, thank you so much for the time today. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Glad to have you here.
I always love it when Deb speaks languages I don't understand and starts off the shows using terms that I am unfamiliar with. What is timber framing and bushcrafting?
So you know blacksmithing then?
I do.
Yay. Good job, David.
I do. I've been to Greenfield Village.
Good. Okay. Timber framing is a structure, is a way to build a structure. It's the joinery of how the wood would come together. So a lot of the old barns that we see around Michigan, for example, are timber frame barns. Really nice way to be able to construct a barn. You're not going to use metal hardware. Instead of you're using all wooden hardware and wooden joinery.
Kind of like an Amish barn raising?
It's exactly
any
like
kind
that.
Of barn raising. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
How about
bushcrafting? Bushcrafting is a term to talk about the outdoors, skills in the outdoors, whether it's using a knife or hunting or leather tanning, all of those types of skills that would occur outside of a classroom area and outside of like a fixed equipment shop. So it's unplugged, if you will.
So it sounds like you're taking skills that were passed through the generations that much of our society has let fall by the wayside. Is it fair to say that it can all fall under the category of homesteading?
Absolutely. Homesteading nowadays means something that it did back then. Homesteading nowadays is a way to get in touch with your family, yourself, your community. It's a way of holding a household down, not just with food, but also with art and craft. It's a way of reducing one's impact on the earth. It's a way of reducing one's electricity needs or their heating needs and looking at different types of technology that can help with that.
So let's get a little bit into your background. You've got quite an eclectic career path. You've been an educator, an investment banker, a writer, a farm market manager, a beekeeper, and a toy maker. Collectively, they all add up to what would mean the skills maybe needed to run a folk school. When did the light bulb flash and the idea of starting a folk school hit you?
22 years ago.
Goodness.
22 years ago.
Wow, that was very specific
exactly.
And very quick.
I remember it like it was yesterday. My mother was living in Franklin, North Carolina. We went to visit her during the summer, and she asked us if we wanted to go to a bluesgrass night at a really interesting place. And that interesting place is the John Campbell Folk School in Brasstown, North Carolina. So we went to this, what I can only refer to as summer camp for adults.
Cool.
Multiple buildings of every different kind of craft you can imagine. And it was not an art school. So it's not for aesthetic's sake. It's for craft, for you're walking away with a product. It was an unbelievable experience that we went back many, many times over the years. And of course, as we grew older, we started looking at our children. We're like, we need something like that around here. We can't travel as easy anymore. So if you can't find it, you build it. And that's exactly what we did.
Now, today we have so much technology available to us, and we can buy the products made by those technologies that some of us contend make our lives and chores easier. So why the focus on the renewal of traditional living skills, crafts, and music to live in a world that doesn't necessarily require you to do that?
In a homesteading situation, we get a certain amount of people that will talk about this idea of being a prepper, waiting for the collapse of society, the collapse of our foundation.
Well, that's rather dire.
Exactly.
That does sound sad.
But that's not necessarily what we're after. We're after a different outlook. There is a sociologist named Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, and he wrote and has been studying this idea of happiness for many years, and what he referred to as finding your flow. a way of being able to enter this state where you're self-healing at the same time you're producing something. Now, it also goes for sport or really music or anything. It's being in that moment. But that feeling of being able to center oneself is unbelievably rewarding. And we found that we use craft in order to be able to do that.
So, you know, the folk schools here in Dixboro, what do I find? Is it just a build? Not, is it a timber what was it?
Timber frame
building that would walk in and there's a bunch of classrooms, or what is it?
Well, actually, yes. There are a couple timber frame barns on the site. Just to step back for a second, it was in 2015, 2016, the Michigan Folk School is a nonprofit, and we were looking around for a campus. We knew that in order to be able to do intermediate and advanced skills, we needed a place to do it on our own. Washtenaw County approached us and said that they had purchased a 100-acre farm in Ann Arbor off of Plymouth Road, and they were looking to have ideas of how to develop it. They wanted somebody to come in there and do interpretive farming. But that's not what we do. We actually do the craft. And when they found that out, that was extremely exciting. So we started looking around for other folk schools that had a similar relationship with a county or a city. And it was North House Folk School in Grand Marais, Minnesota, that has a relationship with the city of Grand Marais.
How great is that? I had no idea that the county was involved. That's great.
You are listening to Creative Impact on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, sitting alongside my co-host Deb Pollock, and our guest today is Jason Gold, the director of the Michigan Folk School in Washtenaw County, offering classes and programs on traditional living skills, crafts, and music.
So speaking of those classes and skill sets, we talked about timber framing and bushcrafting. Thank you. Now I have new words to use in my vocabulary. but what other classes are most popular? What do you see people seeking and what are they enjoying?
Absolutely. Great question. The most popular course is blacksmithing.
Oh, really?
It's quite incredible. Every time we run a blacksmithing course, we will have a wait list of anywhere from 10 to 20 people. And that's always really astonishing for us.
And what are they using the blacksmithing skills for?
Yeah, I was going to say horseshoes came
exactly.
to mind, but there has
I'm thinking
to be more.
Of maybe they're building iron fences and things like that. But
well, that's not too far off. I mean, that's typically what a blacksmith would do today. But the new thing that has been growing in the popularity for the last 5 to 10 years is knife making. And a lot of that comes from television shows. I don't watch television, so I don't necessarily know what shows those are. But it drives a lot of people to our course. And when you realize that 40% of our students in the blacksmithing are women age 55.
Oh, interesting.
Is this
like knives I'd use in my kitchen, or are these for other things?
Anything from knives in your kitchen to a bushcraft knife
to
bring it back. Yeah.
Use that word again.
So are you seeing interest from a wide variety of people, socioeconomic levels, races and genders? Obviously, you mentioned women are very involved.
Yeah, we are a non-competitive education, so we've been working with 18 to, the oldest student that we've had so far is 97.
Oh, wow.
But now we're starting to work with children as well, all across the board of all socioeconomic levels, take an interest in some kind of course that we may offer.
But what about the person who's never done anything like this, and they take one of your courses? Do you see an immediate change in them? Is it fulfilling right away, or is it a variety of responses?
I think it's a variety of responses, but I will say the majority of people that come to us without any experience in any one of these crafts or these arts. And the change happens in the very beginning. Everybody's quiet. Everybody's looking around, wondering what's going on, wondering what to expect. By the end of the course, it's like they've been friends for years. And so it's not just creating this skill. It's not just creating this product. It's also creating a community because people walk away with long-term friendships.
Do you find people tapping back into something that they enjoyed when they were young but they had forgotten?
I would love to see that as the way it is, yes. It's fun to be a child again. And I guess when you can get into that flow, you get into that state of mind and creativity is abound.
My inner child is running wild. The folk school is trying to expand its curriculum, Jason, and offer some new classes. What is one that you're particularly looking forward to?
I think there's two that we're looking forward to, or at least I am looking forward to personally. The one class is taught by a gentleman named Dawson Moore, which is a spoon carving course. Now, it's the beginning of green wood woodworking, which is kind of like bushcraft. You're only using an axe and a knife. But he's teaching this course that you start in the woods by harvesting a little tree or a part of a tree, and then you actually bring it to a product by the end of the class. And it's called sloyd, which is a method of teaching by hand or teaching by hand tool that has been used in this country 100 years ago that kind of disappeared out of our curriculum.
Again, a new word.
Then the other class is a leather bootmaking class where the students will come in and measure their feet. 4 days later, they have a pair of custom boots that they made.
That sounds right up your alley there, David, bootmaking.
I appreciate a pair of good boots.
Absolutely. Well,
nothing's better than custom made.
And I would not trust anything that I make.
So Jason, as we wind down, yes, I said earlier at the top of the show, you've had all sorts of different jobs. Is this it for you? Is this like the fit and the forever job?
Most of my career has been in the for-profit industry. In 2010, between 2010 and 2012, I made the switch from for-profit to nonprofit. This is my give back. This is a way that I find a way of not owning something, but just being a part of something. And so can I see myself entering here through retirement? Absolutely.
Are you happier today, and is your family happier today as a result of the choices you've made and the transition in lifestyles you've led?
I would say that we are much happier today. We spend more time together than a lot of families do. Our time is not in front of a television set, but doing a craft together.
Thank you so much for the time today. It is greatly appreciated.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
That is Jason Gold discussing his work as the director of the Michigan Folk School. And Deb Pollock, we'll see you again next week.
I'll be happy to be here, David.
You've been listening to Creative Impact, a regular Tuesday feature. Deb Pollock, of course, the president and CEO of the Arts Alliance and our content partner for Creative Impact. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.